Could make the case that we live in a world sliding ever faster into absurdity and chaos. For some, this is a shockingly new development, while others have chosen to believe that the world is going to hell from the moment they were born. And then there are those great observers who have seen the signs over the course of the last 50 or 60 years. These people neither believe that the decline just began, nor do they think we have always been on our way down. They are the thinkers, the observers, the great philosophers of our day, and the ones who have quietly been warning of imminent decline since the early 1970s. They are not men. They are Devo. I'm actually being half serious about this, which is the appropriate amount of seriousness when one discusses Devo. Formed on the campus of Kent State University, partially as a reaction to the Kent State massacre that was witnessed by members of the group, Devo took their name from the concept of de-evolution, or the idea that society was sliding into a herd mentality rather than progressing toward true enlightenment. Their music was one of the earliest examples of what would become new wave and synth pop, and has had deep influence on industrial music, art pop, EDM, and much, much more. Their performances were as much about theater and societal statements as they were about amazingly good music. From their weird costumes that would feature hazmat suits and sunglasses, or black turtlenecks that reached above their noses while they wore their iconic red energy dome hats, to their choreographed, emotionless, robotic movements on stage, Devo presented a full package unlike anything that had ever been seen or heard before. When they first came into the public eye, most people thought they were just weird, which of course was the point. But to those who got the joke, they were brilliant in their presentation and their music. Over the past 50 years, not only have more and more people come to understand this band, but they are now seen as a prescient band who, perhaps sadly, were correct in their predictions of the future. Tonight, celebrating the recent 75th birthday of the band's leader, Mark Mothersbaugh, Danny and I are going to take a deep dive into the futuristic, de-evolved, brilliant world of this truly unique and creative band. Tonight, we bring you The Devo Show. My name is Rich Larson, but for tonight, you can call me Danny Too. His name is Daniel G. Moyer. This is The Weekly List. Well, good evening, everybody. You're listening to AM 1080 and FM 95.1 KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us once again for another edition of The Weekly List. Danny One?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Hey, hello. You did that backwards, which also shows that our show is devolving.
What do you mean I did it backwards?
Well, you did the AM before the FM. You typically
you're
say
listening
FM.
To FM 95.1. Oh, you're right. You're AM.
Yeah, you said it backwards.
It's pretty interchangeable.
Yeah, but it's also de-evolution.
Okay, I'll
go
roll
with
that.
It. Go with
I'll
it.
Roll
here.
With I'm, it. I'm I'll roll with it. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Devo today, and
yeah.
They are the Spud Boys, and they're from Akron,
Spud
Ohio.
Boys. Yes.
They're
which is not terribly far from Columbus, Ohio.
No, it's
where
not.
You spent
it's
a little
not.
Bit of your childhood.
I did not encounter Devo probably until I was in Virginia Beach, and that was when, you know, new wave and stuff really kind of hit. And
did,
it was
did,
with the song
was
Whip,
it
Whip
was it.
It
Columbus, Virginia Beach, Columbus, Minnesota?
It was Columbus, Virginia Beach. No, it was Columbus, Rhode Island, Virginia Beach, Minnesota.
Okay.
But I had done Virginia, Columbus. There were two times of Virginia.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Okay. Oh, two times in Virginia.
Yeah.
Only once in Columbus. When were you in Rhode Island?
In between Columbus and Virginia.
How long were you there?
I was only there for like a good solid summer.
Oh, okay.
You know, my dad was going to, weapons course.
Oh, sure.
And so we spent the summer in Rhode Island, and I love Newport, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
That was
yeah,
a
cool.
fun summer. I forget what summer it was. Summer 78?
Maybe.
Star Wars was at least a year old.
Okay.
So.
All right, that's 78.
I put everything on either album dates or movies.
We are closing in, by the way. Now, it's still a couple years away, but like we're closing in on the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, 2 years on Star Wars.
Of Star Wars. Anyway, there's your tangent.
That's a whole thing. That was the tangent we got.
That'll be
out
a
of the
show.
You know, the thing that I always, I remember when I was at St. Olaf that I took a course, and I forget exactly what it was, but the question was, we had to decide, would we rather be in an empire on the ascent or the decline?
Decline, right.
And most people, of course, are going to say the ascent because...
Yes.
You know, things are good.
Yeah.
I remember answering the decline.
Hmm.
And, you know, and it wasn't because of Devo, but where my thoughts were on that is it's only in the decline of an empire that you get to see the true character of the human condition.
I don't want to see the true
character
of the human condition.
And I think that right now, what Devo is asking with their entire band, they're kind of looking at that. And investigating what is the decline, what is the human condition devolve into?
Yeah,
and I kind of feel like we're seeing it right now.
Oh, I absolutely,
you
think
know,
we are
I,
too.
That doesn't mean that I like it. I just thought it would be more interesting,
mm-hmm.
and it is. It's a more interesting time, and I truly do think that we are kind of devolving.
I'd rather be happy and bored.
I'd rather be happy and bored too, but you know, we're going to realize what the human condition is really like, and we're seeing it every day.
Okay, well,
so that's
anyway.
That's my political.
But that's
rant.
Devo.
Yeah, it is. That is essentially what Devo's about.
That's Devo. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I love the first song, and it was from their album, Question, Are We Not Men? Answer, We Are Devo.
Right,
and
right.
The song is Jocko Homo.
I learned just this week And I've heard that song a million times. I've looked at the record. I've listened to the record. I learned just this week that the name of that song is not Are We Not Men?
Oh, really? Yeah, it's Jocko Homo.
And it's Jocko Homo.
That song is, first of all, the entire album, and I realized looking through the set list, we went heavy mind on that first
record. Yeah, we did.
And that first record is truly a classic.
It is.
If you like alternative music, if you like punk, if you like new wave, that's a gold standard album.
And that album
right
came out in 1970.
I think it was 79.
No, it was at least 78. It was at least 78. Might have even been 77.
Okay.
Like, that thing was so far ahead of its time.
Yeah. And I mean, so it came around the time of Talking Heads 77.
Yeah,
too.
It did. It did.
So,
I mean,
I love that record. And I did not hear it. I honestly, the first thing that I ever heard by Devo was Whip It. And that was in like 1980.
80, yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
So I think that you're right with the timing on that.
I remember seeing, there was a show called, in the late 70s, there was a TV show that was on at 6:30. It was syndicated on Channel 9 or something. It was called PM Magazine. That was on Channel 4.
Okay.
It was a syndicated show. And they had, that was the first time I ever heard of Devo. They had a report, like a little story on Devo that was really more about like the weird people that would go to their shows.
Yeah.
And like they talked to people in line outside of a show, and there was like one guy just wearing a hefty bag. Right?
Yeah.
Right. And like was giving a very serious answer to what de-evolution was. And like, and I'm, you know, so I'm like 8 or 9 years old watching this going, okay, Are We Not Men? We Are Devo came out in 1978.
78, okay.
All right. And it was right around then, too. And, like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That, I mean, it's... I was kind of surprised because I first heard of them with the Freedom of Choice album. And I remember going into... At the time, it was Peaches Record, was mm-hmm. the big record store chain on the East Coast. And going in there and, like, looking at Freedom of Choice, I was like, what is this Are We Not Men? And then they had another one, which was... It was the second
New Traditionalists.
New Traditionalists was their fourth album. Oh, it was the second album, and it was Duty Now for the Future.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then shortly after Freedom of Choice, there was a Devo live album, and I went, who are these guys? They only put out, I thought it was their first album, because, you know, Whip It was really a big hit, and it's, I think it's odd that, just cut to the chase, we're not playing Whip It tonight. Maybe it's as not, a...
That's sort of by accident.
Yeah,
a little
it was.
Bit. I mean, Whip It's a good song. But I've also, like anyone who pays attention to music has heard Whip It.
You've heard it.
9 gazillion times.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting to kind of look a little under... Some of these songs were really big hits that we're going to play tonight. They really were.
Well, I wouldn't say really big hits, but they were bigger hits than people think they were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But opening with Jocko Homo, that's the
whole
credo.
Well, you have to start with asking the question, are we not men? We are Devo.
Yeah.
Right? My favorite thing about that song, it's one of the first songs that they wrote.
Mm-hmm.
It was not their first single. In fact, it was the B-side of their first single. But it was a major component of their live shows, right? And they would play it to challenge the audience. And so they would, like Mark Mothersbaugh said, sometimes they'd get to the end and they would just for like half an hour.
I know.
For 30 minutes, just over and over again. Are we not men? We are Devo. Are we not men? Over and over again.
D-E-V-O.
D-E-V-O. Until like people were getting angry and like, will you just stop? A couple of times someone tried to fight them. Like the
you know, and they image-wise, they always played up that we look like nerds.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Mothersbaugh had like these strange glasses that, and they really played into this. I mean, there were two members of the band that both had, the first name was Bob, so it was Bob 1, Bob 2.
Yep.
And
Bob 2 has passed away, by the way.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Bob 2.
Yeah. And I thought it was funny that when I read the obituary, it just said Bob 2. You know, I mean, like, they pulled it off all the way to the very end. I mean, you know, and they've done some strange things in their career, and I'll talk about Devo 2.0 later on, because I thought that was really a bizarre bend.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
We'll talk about it later. Right.
Okay.
But okay. Anyhow.
All right. So, why are we talking about Devo in the first place?
Yeah, that's a good question. it's good that we are.
Yeah. Well, I think they're well, first of all, we're doing it because as we are recording this today, March. I've been doing that all month. May 18th. Today is Mark Mothersbaugh's 75th birthday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Mark Mothersbaugh. For those of you who are like late millennials and early Gen Zers, Mark Mothersbaugh is the guy who, among other things, does all of the music for, did all the music for Rugrats.
Oh, okay. Right.
So that's where you've heard Mark Mothersbaugh. He's done a whole bunch of stuff. He does a lot of scoring and things like
that.
Yeah,
he does. And he's a very innovative
composer.
Oh,
man, yeah.
I mean, and I like the fact him and Danny Elfman from Oingo Boingo, they really came from these strange, obscure little bands, and they dictated the sound of not just television, but cinema.
Yeah. Absolutely. And,
I mean, Oingo Boingo was another really good band, but they're only recognized for probably Weird Science and a couple others.
Well, Danny
but they've
Elfman,
got a lot of good.
Danny Elfman's gotten himself in a lot of trouble lately, though, too.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, he has. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, I'm glad to see that these guys, you know, especially Mark Mothersbaugh, is still out there.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah,
a good
no, absolutely.
Sign.
And I'm glad he's still working.
So
and
he's
like
Springsteen's
he,
age.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's Billy Joel's age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, but think about the fact too that this band formed in 1973.
Yeah,
before like they had to invent the technology for them to play their music.
Exactly, there was not. I remember seeing a synthesizer for the first time in like 77, and just being knocked out. And there, the synthesizers back then were not like these things that you could go and buy at Guitar Center and, you know, zip out and blah,
right,
blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I mean, it was heavy, technical, heavy stuff.
You go and look at the stuff that like the Who used for Won't Get Fooled Again, right?
Yeah, the sequencers.
And those things, like, they've got an entire, like, switchboard. They're huge. But Mark Mothersbaugh started fooling around with a Moog, early Moog synthesizer. And that's where a lot of this stuff came from.
You know, you had to be almost as much of a programmer and a technician and engineer as you were a musician.
Absolutely.
So, and the keyboards were just to trigger all kinds of stuff. It just nothing was easy. So the music that you're hearing here, you got to have a lot of respect
and they performed that stuff. Like they took that stuff live.
Well, see, that was the thing. There was a Devo live album that came out around the time of 80, 81.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Crazy. Anyway, so Devo, in my mind, Devo is a deeply, deeply influential band.
Oh, they are.
There's so much of their sound that I hear throughout the 80s and even today, right? You know, I mean, all that music that I think is recorded underwater, a lot of that started.
You have to have Devo. You have to have Kraftwerk.
Kraftwerk's the other one. Yeah.
You also have to have Gary Numan.
Yes, you do. And
Thomas Dolby.
What's the name of the band Gary Numan came from?
Army. Something Army.
Trans Tube Army or something like that. Yeah.
I'll think about it. But
yeah.
I know that I mentioned it when we played Cars a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did. We did. I was reading about it like 2 hours ago, and I'm getting old now.
See, that's happening a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now that we're that age.
Yeah. So.
How many times have you walked into a room this past week and gone, now what the hell am I here for?
Every time I walk into my office and sit down, what was I going to do? Yeah. It happens all the time. Well, but that's happened to me since almost birth. Every time I would walk into a comic book store or a music record store.
Yeah,
like,
that's
what was I going to buy?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll just buy everything. Yeah, yeah.
That's wow. Is that true?
That's how I started collecting Moon Knight.
Oh.
Anyway.
Wow.
Okay. So that was Jaco Homo.
Okay.
Next one up is That's Good from the Oh No It's Devo album, which probably was. Whippet's not on that album, but it probably, like, overall was their most, like, commercial album.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have gone with New Traditionalists.
Yeah, this one, like, I can remember, we've got two songs on this show from Oh No, It's Devo. I can remember the second one that we'll play later. I can remember them playing that on, wait for it, Solid Gold.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Rex Smith?
Yeah. Well, by then it was.
It was
It was Rex Smith and Marilyn McCoo because the original, of course, the original host of Solid Gold was Marilyn McCoo and Andy Gibb.
Right.
And he left. And
Andy, sweet Andy. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, so, but that's good. This is, like, to me, you remember the movie Revenge of the Nerds?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great movie.
Like, this song is the entire soundtrack to Revenge of the Nerds.
See, now I got to watch that movie again. I haven't seen that.
I don't think that song's in Revenge of the Nerds, but
right,
it sounds
like the entire
soundtrack.
It sounds like it would be. I have to see that movie again. It's been years.
It's fantastic. Wow. Except for the highly, highly, highly questionable scene where they invade the sorority house.
Yeah. That stuff in 83, 84, whatever.
The stuff you could never get away with now, right?
No, none of it.
Right. Still a super funny movie.
It is.
Yes. All right. And we can say that because we can't say that, but we can get away with it because we're like almost 60 and we're getting to the point where we're just old guys that are irrelevant.
Yeah, we're lucky if we remember things.
Exactly. This is That's Good from 1982 and the Oh No, It's Devo album on 95.1 FM,
wow,
AM
man.
1080, KYMN Radio.
I'm going to have you checked out.
.net. from 1981 and the New Traditionalists album that was Through Being Cool. The irony, of course, is that they were never
cool. What you would call hipster cool. I will tell you this, that when I lived in Virginia Beach, and this was like 1981, 82, there were a bunch of different factions in my junior high. I was at Brandon Junior High, and I fell into the rocker faction at
that time. As
opposed
to the punks.
Yeah, and there were no punks, really. There was the new wave, and it was either you were new wave and you wore Vans and stuff like that. I'm dead serious. You wore checkered Vans, or you were in the rocker crowd. And because I wore jeans and tennis shoes and t-shirts, I was more into the rocker crowd. And that was the kind of stuff. I mean, I went and saw like Journey and Styx and REO. All of those were the bands that I listened to, and a lot of 38 Special and Molly Hatchet and stuff. And if I got caught listening to something like the Go-Go's or Devo, it was like a big deal, you know?
That's so stupid.
You know, it is incredibly stupid. But I got to tell you, I always loved Devo, and I loved the Go-Go's especially. Mm. I had the biggest crush on Belinda Carlisle. Everybody did.
Yeah.
But I remember getting caught once listening to Whip It and Through Being Cool, and I love Through Being Cool. Mm. What kind of really helped me
was...
You got
caught listening to Whip It, and suddenly you were through being cool.
I was through being cool among that faction. And what really helped me out, though, was the heavy metal soundtrack.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, Through Being Cool was played by an electro house band that was played by Devo.
Right.
And then Working in the Coal Mine was also on the soundtrack.
Right.
So that helped bridge things, and I was able to kind of wrestle my way through, hey, you know, man, I was listening to the Sammy Hagar parts of the heavy metal thing, and I just kind of liked the Devo stuff.
Yeah.
So that was how I kind of bridged the gap. They're a strange band, and
coolness
was
great. Well, yeah, I'm shaking my head more at the strange stratification of childhood. And
it is weird.
And it's just, yeah.
And the roles
childhood
and
classes,
that we have to
play. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's so stupid.
And
not if you're 14, you're not dumb, but you know, you'll come around.
Yeah. So for me, I love the punk stuff. I still love Molly Hatchet. I really do. So
I like the one Molly Hatchet song.
Flirting with Disaster, right?
Exactly.
Beating the Odds is a good song, too.
Okay, but you know what's weird? I love Me the Southern Rock, and I've just never gotten into Molly Hatchet.
See, early 80s, I mean, you had Rosington Collins band.
Which was not nowhere near as good as their previous band.
Oh, no. Yeah. But there was no previous band.
Are we ever
going
to do a Skinner show?
We really should.
We need to do a Skinner show. I'd much rather, frankly, just do a straight-up Southern rock show.
Yeah.
My birthday is coming up.
Hey.
I might have to do that for my birthday. That way we can do the Skinner show later, but I can get the Southern rock stuff all out of my system. Oh, this is interesting.
This is how we strategize.
It is.
Okay.
On air program.
Okay, so that
meetings.
Was Through Being Cool.
Okay.
I just like that song because it's got that.
I am just missing. I'm not coming up with it. The songwriter from New Orleans. You know what I'm talking about.
I think so.
Oh, come on.
Here, I'm going to give you the answer. I'll give you the answer.
He passed away just a couple years ago. He also wrote Summer Nights. Summer. This is awful. This is killing me. And there are people screaming his name.
Alan Toussaint.
Alan Toussaint.
Toussaint. He wrote "Working in a Coal Mine."
Who wrote "Working in a Coal Mine"?
Yeah.
This was on the heavy metal soundtrack. To me, there's two or three like super iconic Devo songs, right?
And this is one for you?
This is one of them. And they're all pretty much from this era. It's this one and Jaco Homo and a song we're going to get to in a little bit, their cover of that one other song. Those are the iconic, like you want to know what Devo sounds like, go listen to these three songs.
Okay.
Right? So that's all I have to say about this.
Okay. So... from the 1981 heavy metal album.
Wait, can we talk about heavy metal for a second?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
When was the last time you saw that movie?
It was a while ago.
I haven't seen. I actually watched it a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
does not hold up at
no,
all.
No, it really does not.
Whoever wrote it was just basically a teenage boy that wanted to look at naked breasts.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And wanted to draw naked breasts so he could draw them like ridiculously out of proportion.
I own the movie on Blu-ray.
I somehow own two digital copies of Heavy Metal. I don't know how that happened.
Well, come on, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
But John Candy's in that movie. Harold Ramis is the voice of Harold Ramis is in that movie.
The soundtrack was one of
the soundtrack is phenomenal.
It is one of the great soundtracks of the 1980s. There's 16 songs on it.
There are two that are like kind of underrated. I think in my mind, Heavy Metal is one of them. Fast Times at Ridgemont High is the other.
Yeah, that's another good one, too. You know, for me, I preferred the Heavy Metal soundtrack. Stevie Nicks has got a great song on there called Blue Lamp that I don't think was on anything else she had done other than like a retrospective.
I think we put it on the Stevie Nicks show
and it was on a retrospective album that came out a long time ago. But back then, the Heavy Metal soundtrack was the only place you could find it. And that album was out of print for a number of years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I do Midnight Album. I might have to do the Heavy Metal soundtrack as
you should.
Album one of these days. That's interesting. Okay. All right.
And remind me when we talk to Vicky at Verbena, I've got some questions for her.
Okay. All right. This is Working in a Coal Mine by Alan Toussaint.
Yeah.
But recorded by Devo on 95.1.
Thank you. the girl you want. She's just a girl. She's just a girl. The girl you want.
From the Freedom of Choice album, that was Girl You Want. I got nothing on that song.
That's my favorite Devo song.
Really?
I love that song.
It's a great song.
Yeah. And what I kind of like about it is the kind of keyboard. And it has the little pause of breaks. And it's like the girl. The girl you want.
Yep.
And then it. I mean, I can hear that. I know that it wasn't in the movie, but I can. It feels like the Valley Girl movie.
Oh, there's a lot of this that sounds like Valley Girl.
Yeah, too. And yeah. There's not one thing about that song that I don't love. It's got the tricky kind of spelling. It's girl, G-I-R-L, just you, a capital U, yep. Want.
Yes.
And it gets right into that feeling that age for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the longing and stuff like that that just kind of comes with being a dorky right. junior high kid.
Right.
So perfect.
But somehow being explained by a computer.
Yeah.
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 And it's incredibly danceable too.
It is. It's a great song. It's super catchy. Yeah. That's the thing that Devo doesn't get enough credit for. They got some good hooks.
They really do.
They got some good melodies and some. I mean, they were not the. The tuneless new wave.
No, they were
techno
not.
Techno for techno's sake.
No, and they did some cool counter rhythms
mm-hmm.
and very danceable stuff.
Yep.
And if you were a teenager in the early 80s, something like that's going to stand out. And
yeah, absolutely.
It's just going to... as much as I love the REO Speedwagons, the 38 Specials and stuff, that song, it's going to hang there like a red herring. And sit up against a lot of this guitar stuff.
Right.
And,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
There's nothing quite like a Devo song from the early 80s. And that's a quintessential
no,
example.
No, you're absolutely right. They were unique.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right. So tell me about Uncontrollable Urge.
Okay. Uncontrollable Urge. This was the first song on their first album, which was Are We Not Men?
Mm-hmm.
And... what I like about it, it's really odd. I mean, he's talking about uncontrollable urge, and you hear the background voice of he's got a and I've got a uncontrollable urge. Just the way that the background voices voice the thing before the lead singer does on this just kind of comes at it, and it's on their first albums, 1978. You put mm-hmm. the needle down on that in 1978. Think about all the other stuff that was out. Was it the Grease soundtrack?
Yeah,
big
in 1978. Yeah.
So this is going to sound like
frankly,
nothing else.
Frankly, Saturday Night Fever was huge in 1978. I mean,
oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. The two pieces of music from 1978 that I think people must have heard and thought, what is going on? One is Are We Not Men, We Are Devo.
Mm-hmm.
The other is Eruption from Van Halen.
Oh, that's...
I mean, that...
Yeah.
People had to think that was from Mars.
I remember when I first heard it, I thought it was a synthesizer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
At the same time, 1978 is when my favorite album of all time came out. Billy Joel's...
52nd Street.
52nd Street.
Yeah.
It was a pivotal year, and disco was still... It was in the waning phase, but disco was
disco
still,
was ruling the charts
yeah.
in 78, man.
I mean, and you think about this, at the same time, Styx had just come out with Pieces of Eight,
mm-hmm.
with Renegade and Blue Collar Man,
mm-hmm. Neil Young came out with basically a country folk album, Comes a Time,
yeah.
in 78, right?
It's a strange, really yeah. weird time in music.
And Bob Dylan was making Christian music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you have something like Uncontrollable Urge. It's yeah. all I can say is we're going to play it. Just have a listen to it and try to imagine thinking about Billy Joel's 52nd Street. Think about... Summer Lovin' by Olivia yeah. Newton-John and John Travolta and all that kind of stuff. And then this is out there.
The biggest album of the... Well, no, was it? I mean, Rumors from
that
Fleetwood
was the
Mac.
Year before, but well, it was still playing.
You know, Rumors and Hotel California are still like two of the biggest albums
oh, yeah.
of 78. Yeah.
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 Enormous.
Yeah. Okay. And then you get this on 95.1 KYMN. The we'll be right back.
Hey, Rich, were you a Rolling Stones fan? I mean, like a big Rolling Stones fan?
Baby, 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 baby.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. So they do for a cover. They cover the Rolling Stones. I Can't Get No Satisfaction. And that's, I'm pretty sure that when Keith woke up in the middle of the night and came up with that riff, and then, you know, 35 minutes of him snoring on that cassette tape, I'm pretty sure that he would never imagine what Devo did to
it. Baby, 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 baby.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is you only really kind of hear the riff.
Right. It's sort of the end.
But it's not really the riff. It's just da-na-na. That's the only thing that's part of it. And they approximate the melody, but not really.
No.
And then it's got that strange drum beat that kind of ties the thing together. It's... But I think it's great.
It's brilliant.
That's one of the fantastic covers that you will ever find. That
it absolutely is.
It doesn't replace the original, and in some cases it surpasses it, but it doesn't replace it.
Well, it's so creative.
Yeah.
Like it's you know, let's write a completely different song, but then put the Satisfaction lyrics on top of it and see what happens.
Yeah, it's a dismantling of something that
you know what?
Truly
it's
a
Satisfaction
classic.
De-evolved.
Yeah, it is. That's that's what they did.
No, it is.
Stuff.
It's a deconstructed salad.
It's completely deconstructed. And you gotta like that. You really do.
You have a couple of questions for Vicky Scott.
Yeah. Okay. Because one of the questions that I've got the heavy metal soundtrack on vinyl,
mm-hmm.
and I bought it in 1981,
mm-hmm.
and it's got a lot of surface noise. So I want her to somehow.
Can she work on that?
Yes. Can she do something for that so I can get that sounding clean again?
Okay.
So.
I will ask her when we talk to her, which will be right now. And just like that, with a snap of a finger, suddenly we are sitting with Vicky Scott of Verbena Vinyl. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. I'm not sure where we are right now, but.
We are in your earbuds.
Yes, exactly right. Because in cyberspace, time has no meaning.
Time has no meaning. Space is up.
Exactly. You have any Devo in the racks over at Verbena Vinyl right now?
Not at the moment. No, not at the moment. It goes out pretty fast. People are fairly obsessed with their Devo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a legion of super fans
mm-hmm.
of Devo.
Mm-hmm.
I can't call myself one of those people, but only because I just haven't spent enough time with them.
I think that they have their definite place mm-hmm. and their definite influence in the culture.
You know, you could probably stock and sell the red Energy Dome hats.
I probably could.
Yeah.
Like, they're such a novelty. Everybody like wants them.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Everybody always like gets them for a birthday or something.
You should bring a bunch in for like Halloween.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
There it is. So what's going on over at Verbena Vinyl these days?
So much. So still hanging strong with all of the listening parties and things. We got a lot of those coming up. Unfortunately, I can't tell you about any, but definitely follow me on social media because that is where all the magic happens. So at Verbena Vinyl on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. That's how you will find out about things that are going on. I'm definitely in the process of putting up an events page on my website because
good.
That is more accessible to a lot of people. Have a lot of events going on, but right now we are 14 days away from ending my Indiegogo for the water bottle filler.
Okay.
14 days away, and I need about 894 with Danny's contribution, more $10 bills.
Okay.
So that, you know, 894. You would think with like hundreds of thousands of views and clicks and likes and
mm-hmm.
shares
mm-hmm.
that 894 people would want to give me $10.
Yeah.
It just hasn't happened. I think that folks are focused on other things.
Interesting.
It's springtime. It's the beginning of summer, trying to get the kids transitioned out of school and into summer stuff.
But that first like 90 degree day with like 80% humidity, there's going to be a ton of people going, boy, I wish there was a water bottle filler in the middle of downtown Northfield.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be nice if you didn't have to like go up to a water or a soda fountain
mm-hmm.
and hope that you're hitting the right button. Also ask the person working there if you can get water
right.
or fill it up in the bathroom.
Right.
there used to be a lot more water fountains just sprinkled about places. Those, for various reasons, because they're hard to maintain, because they're sometimes get gross, they can't be used over the winter, etc.
Sometimes they just sort of fail and you only get that little like trickle out of there.
Exactly. So those have all been removed, but they haven't been replaced with anything. Yeah. Sort of making the responsibility to stay hydrated your problem.
Right. Right. And everyone and their brother carries a water bottle these days.
You carry a water bottle because you must.
Yeah. I've got like four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even the target audience for a water bottle, but here I am.
Yeah. So I have encountered two today, but that's because I am a very non-traditional person. The first one I encountered today was here at the radio station. There's one in the hall.
Yes.
I think it's part of the science department. It's not always available to the public because it is like behind a locked door part of the day. Like
most of the day, actually.
They can choose to lock that door. So not exactly public. And then the other one was on the Carleton campus right next to the print shop.
Yeah.
Again, not exactly public because it is on a college campus in a building that you have to know about and go down a lot of steps to go get.
You know, folks, I have the power to lock the door here at the Medical Arts Building. I'm going to start doing that.
Do not.
Yeah.
Don't deprive people from the bathroom and the water.
I think people need to start thinking about getting their water from you is what I think.
Listen, I am definitely, I'm going to say this on here because you are the correct audience, but I will definitely still do this regardless of whether I get enough money to actually do it. I will simply fund it myself. I do have the $1,000 that I need to actually get the device, but it being in a box on the floor in the middle of the room is not going to do anybody any good.
Right.
And I just need you to know that I will be incredibly obnoxious about it if I fund it myself.
Yeah.
I will on every level take full credit for it because I will be able to.
I smell an 8% price increase across the board for being a vinyl. That's what I think.
No, I would not increase the prices, but I would have my wife make a picture of me as Maui. Do you know who Maui is in Moana? Maui is the character voiced by The Rock.
Okay.
And his big song is "You're Welcome."
Okay.
And he is saying "You're welcome" for all the things that he has done for humanity.
I see.
So I think that it would be me as Maui, my tattoos, but you know, looking like Maui. Mm-hmm. Just saying "You're welcome" right
welcome.
Above the
Absolutely.
Water bottle filler.
Yeah. Yeah. Folks, you don't want this.
You don't want me to be more obnoxious.
It's $10. 894 of you.
894 of the like literally hundreds of thousands of people who have watched and liked and shared and been through the store.
21,000 people in Northfield.
There are 21,000 people in Northfield.
894 people can find a $10 bill to hand you.
Yes.
I think so.
Or a dollar. Like, if you're truly not able to find a $10 bill, throw your change in the bucket.
Right, exactly. Four quarters does the trick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it helps.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's going to be my little rant about it, but
okay.
Don't worry. It's still going to happen.
All right. Well, I'm rooting for you, but I would really like to see the city of Northfield help you.
Right.
You know?
It's a vote of confidence in the right direction. It says we care about this community.
Yeah.
It says we care about Verbena Vinyl. It
right.
says we care about people having clean water to drink.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be good?
I think that is a value of Northfield citizens. If I the last time I checked.
Well, it depends on how much you're paying attention to the water drinking water treatment plant situation. But yeah. Anyway, but that's a whole different conversation.
All right.
Verbena Vinyl is located at?
Verbena Vinyl is located at 419 Division Street. You can find me in there almost every single day, just Wednesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. I am going to be open late on third Thursdays. So on third Thursdays, June through October, I will be open until 8 p.m. And there is some part of me that's kicking around the idea of being open early on Saturdays.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting enough sleep. Or you're getting too much sleep.
I am getting way too much sleep.
Yeah,
it is way too restful in my life.
All right. Verbena Vinyl, all the social medias and all the things.
Verbena Vinyl, at Verbena Vinyl on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and verbenavinyl.com for all of your online midnight browsing.
Fantastic. Thanks, Vicki.
Thank you.
Time now. for the weekly list Haiku Corner, brought to you by Imminent Brewing, a truly poetic brewery. Here is your host, Haiku Rich.
You know, it was fun to put the 575 to Devo. That was, you know. All right. We're going to start winding down Haiku Corner, though. I feel like I'm losing my...
You've devolved it, so it's time to maybe...
I feel like I'm losing my mojo. They're not... The haikus are not as good as...
Well, we'll come up with something.
Yeah, we will. But for now, okay.
So wait, is this the last time we're going to...
No, it's not. It's not. Okay. For sure, we're going to do it at least once more for next week. But like sometime this year, we're going to have to come
All right,
up.
Well.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. They came from nowhere. When they did Satisfaction, we went, what the hell?
You know, actually, they're from Akron. Akron is a, in my mind, is not really nowhere. But
well, you're right. Yeah, you know, well, in your mind, it isn't. Yeah. Okay. You kind of live there. All right. This one we haven't talked about yet, but we'll get there. They had some support. David Bowie, Iggy Pop, the Red Hat sold it. Yeah, we also haven't talked about Brian Eno produced Are We Not Men?
Yeah, the first one. Yeah. David Bowie, I think, was one of the people that helped finance it. Or
he was going to, and then he pulled out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Boy, that band was weird. Hard for us to understand. But Are We Not Men?
My, what a delight. This has been Haiku Corner. Thank you, Imminent.
And so now is the point in the show when we like to pay homage to our founding sponsors, Imminent Brewing, Laura Myers, Derek Myers, our dear friends who own and operate Northfield's Living Room
on the other end of Division Street,
right down the street. Yeah,
they're armory.
Phenomenal people.
Yes,
we love them dearly. I was just thinking, it's been a while since we've had our female counterparts.
It really has
show.
Been.
Now, one of those female counterparts has been busy creating a budget for the state of Minnesota.
Well, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But
like you're prone to do.
Right. But they had a whole like series they were working on.
Yeah.
And like it's been a while. We got to get, if nothing else, it's been just been too long since I think the last time Laura was on the show was the election show, maybe.
Really? Yeah. That would have been, you know, and I'm really such a lazy sod that I really need them to take over a week or two here.
Lord knows I could use breaks. Yeah, so, I mean. Anyway, yeah. That's really what it's all about.
They're just there
so we don't have to work so
exactly.
hard.
Exactly. That would be really nice
to
have a week
right,
off.
Right, of course. You know, never mind that they actually contribute something. Yeah. All right, so.
Okay.
Anyway.
So we're talking about Imminent Brewing. And so, Rich,
before you ask me that question.
Because you know what I'm going to ask you.
I do, and I thank you for that. I want to tell you what's going on this
weekend. Oh, you're
going
to tell me what's going on first.
Yeah. Well, right now, you're missing Russell's Traveling Kitchen, which is my favorite food truck of them all. They're fantastic. Tomorrow night, it's Muddy Tiger Indian Street Food.
Okay.
Which is really good.
Indian Street Food.
Yeah, okay. And then on Saturday, of course, your guys, Potter's Pasties.
Yeah.
Right? You being the Anglophile of all Anglophiles.
Yeah, but I love Indian food, though, too.
Me, too. Well, again, Anglophile, right?
Exactly.
There's a whole thing there. Delicious Pupusas will be the food truck on Sunday. There's no music Saturday night, but on Sunday, our friends, Andrew Rosso and his dad, Jim Rosso, and their organization, Art Makers, are doing the Joyful Noise sing-along, sort of a gospel
thing. That's such a cool idea.
It's cool, and they get a lot of really cool people together, too. So that's going to be Sunday night at 5:30.
Okay.
So, you know, and we love, Art Makers. Andrew, you know, Andrew's the reason I'm in the radio business to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
So I love Andrew.
Yeah.
He's one of my dear
friends.
Well,
good.
And I love his dad too, Jim. I love his mom, Betsy. They're just, I love that entire family.
See, right? You are full of love for everybody.
For the Rossos and the Spethman clan, I have deep, 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 deep.
That's cool.
Anyway. All right. So you were about to ask me.
Yes, Rich. And this is really, really important. So what do they have on tap? Do they still have stuff with tahine rims that are optional?
Well, we're going to find out.
Okay.
Here we go. Ow. Just banged the knee that's about to be surgically repaired. Ouch.
You know what? We're going to just have to cut that sucker off.
I am diabetic. That's not even funny.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right. Start with Gateway Cream Ale. And from there we go to 6th Street Wit. Haywood Hellas, a malty, well-rounded light lager with a soft finish. Prancing Pony New Zealand Pilsner. I just think of Chapel Roan when I hear this, right? That's all
Prancing
I've got there.
Prancing Pony, yeah.
And Lord, too, because of New Zealand. Dragon Squirrel Juicy IPA. Fred the Beer Hazy IPA. Should we take a minute?
Yeah, let's do that. What's happening on Saturday night?
On Saturday night, part of the reason there's no music on Saturday night at Imminent Brewing is because Fred the Bear... by the way, they'll be selling Fred the Beer at the Grand.
Oh, good, good.
Fred the Bear has an album release party happening at the Grand on Saturday night.
I'm really looking forward to this.
The album Just Because I've heard it. I've heard it actually several times.
Oh, nice.
Because they brought me a copy, and I've got like all of the music loaded into the system.
Cool.
We're already playing Fill Me Up on rotation here at KYMN.
So I mean you do the midnight albums.
Oh.
Would you do that?
I hadn't even thought about that.
I'm telling you, man, Friday or Saturday, it depends. You could do it Friday night, and that would be really kind of
fun. Okay, I'm making this call because I'm not scheduled. So this Thursday, the 22nd, as you're hearing this show, tonight's midnight album will be Just Because from Fred the Bear.
That's great, yes. And it's officially released on Friday.
Friday's
an album release day, and that's a new album.
I don't know exactly because I've got my copy, so
you don't really care about me.
They were on.
I don't have the album.
They were on Paula Granquist's Art Zany show Friday morning last week too. Okay. And we've played a lot of the music, but I've got my copy. Okay.
Well, Saturday at May 24th at the Grand Event Center, the doors are going to be at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
7 o'clock is going to be where the music, and it's going to be Fred the Bear, but they've got special guests, Bad Mama, and a reading by Ben Percy.
Who has, for us, done the Another One Bites the Dust.
Yes, exactly.
Ben Percy is so cool. Ben Percy is an author.
Yeah.
But he also writes... Marvel Comics. He writes. He doesn't write Wolverine anymore, but he wrote a whole for years. He wrote
That's
Wolverine,
so cool.
And he has written some Ghost Rider, which is the arc he wrote for Ghost Rider should be the next Ghost Rider movie in my opinion. It's so good.
There's going to be a cash bar and the kitchen's. You know, it's good that the doors are open at 6, so you go in. The kitchen's going to be serving from 6 to 7:30. There's $20.
It's a $20 suggested donation.
Yeah. But come and do that.
Yeah, totally.
Know,
totally.
Get the album. I'm really looking forward to it. That's going to be a lot of fun. And you'll see a lot of people that you know. And you get to hear some great music.
Right.
And for me, this album is going to be fun because when we were recording at Pachyderm Studios, it was a number of shows ago.
Last fall.
Yeah, we got to hang out while they were recording.
We were invited by Fred the Bear to come out while they were recording, and we did that Pachyderm show from Pachyderm Studios at their
blast.
Behest.
I really feel like we owe them, and so I would love to see the Grand just completely packed Saturday
Absolutely.
Night.
Absolutely. We should totally do that.
And these are a bunch of great people.
Oh, God.
And, I mean, Ray has been such one of these kind of fixtures in the music scene in Northfield and all of these folks.
Well, I keep saying this. I'm going to retire this saying because I've said it so much. But, Ray is, if the Northfield music scene was like the Rat Pack, right? Ray is the Sinatra figure. But Ray and Jerry and Bo and Bob and Beth, they're all just, yeah. God, Jerry, you think I give good hugs? Go hug Jerry sometime.
I think I got one at the Packeter party.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did. Yeah, Jerry's the best.
Anyhow, yeah. So that's where we're at. We were just talking about Fred the Beer Hazy IPA.
Fred the Beer.
Is that hazy. Where we stopped?
Yes, yeah, it was. Okay. All right. Cannon River Pale Ale, 916 West Coast IPA, Scooby Dunkel, Freya's Oatmeal Stout, the Mole Porter, Eastern Block Baltic Porter, Sunshine Apricot Wheat Ale, Via Candillo Sour with
the optional Tajin Rim.
And a seltzer.
Yeah.
So they are still open 4 to 9 p.m. on Wednesdays, Thursday 4 to 10 p.m., Friday 3 to 10 p.m., Saturday 12 to 10 p.m., Sunday 12 to 8 p.m. They are closed Mondays and Tuesdays. They will be open from 5 to 10 p.m., however, on Memorial Day, just so's you know.
Yeah.
Because that's coming up on Monday, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't have to work, I don't think. What am I going to do with myself? For
I don't know.
Day?
I have to work.
That's
that
bad.
Day.
Well, yeah. I mean, radio never sleeps.
Yeah,
right. And neither do you.
100% true. But if you have, see, 5 to 10. I forgot about this too. KYMN is helping to sponsor a special concert on Memorial Day.
Oh yeah,
at Imminent Brewing. Our friend Mary Kutcherfello, who I've talked about many times, has a new band, the New Javelin Supremes.
Oh, wow.
Right? And they're fantastic. Cool name. And this is the first time they've played in...
And they're doing it on Memorial
in Northfield. And this will actually be a paid show. You're going to have to... it's a $15 suggested donation to get in, right? But it's Tractor Head, which is a local bluegrass band, is wonderful. And Mary C. and her band, the New Javelin Supremes. And they're going to be, it's going to be so much fun.
I like the name of that band, New Javelin Supremes.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Exactly. So that's Monday. Okay. That's this coming Monday. Well, KYMN is a partial sponsor of that.
Groovy.
So I probably should have remembered that.
Well,
you know, anyway. So that's Imminent Brewing. If you have any other questions, if you need any more information, visit Imminent Brewing. .com.
Okay.
Yes.
The next song that we're going to play, nobody knows. Nobody's heard this song.
I didn't know this song.
Now, the thing about Devo has, you know, they had their big heyday, let's just say, you know, and let's say that when the 90s and the early 90s came, Devo continued to do, let's just say, Stranger Things.
Which is, if you think about it, they should be on Stranger Things.
Yeah, they really should have been. One of the things that they did, have you ever heard of Devo 2.0?
No.
Okay. Here's what happened, and this was like 2004 to 2006. They somehow got involved with Disney.
Okay.
You got to work with me on this. So Devo gets involved with Disney, and what they did is they hired all of these child actors. Okay. And they re-recorded a bunch of their songs and put it out on the Disney label with kids doing the lead vocals. And there were like 9 different videos, and all the members of Devo filmed the videos and they put them out there. They did change some lyrics to make it a little bit more
family friendly.
Like, for example, in Through Being Cool, the line "eliminate the ninnies and the twits" is changed to "eliminate the time you waste in clicks."
Okay.
Which, that just makes me laugh. They had to change tons of stuff in Girl You Want, because that song has really got a lot of innuendo
You're
in
just
it.
Just a girl.
And they changed it to Boy You Want.
Oh.
And they cleaned it up quite a bit.
And this is kids. So it's like Devo Kids Rock.
Yeah, it's Devo. What is that? Kids Bop.
Yeah.
They Kids Bop Devo.
Okay.
And then those albums, I remember when they came out, they put it out with a DVD of all the videos and then the CD of the music. And this is like 2004 to 2005. One of the kids actually was an actor that went on to be in Hunger Games.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I forget what her name was, but she was part of that. And it was Devo, the idea of Devo working with the Disney Corporation and doing like kids covers of Disney.
Well,
they were saying at the time, like, this is what Devo is now. Devo is now 2.0.
I am sure that's when, you know, they were all having kids themselves. And that's probably, you know, that for sure is the same time Mark Mothersbaugh was doing Rugrats.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Certainly. But the point that I'm trying to make is, so Devo changed a little bit and they reinvented themselves as Devo 2.0. But they still continued to work on music. And the last, I guess, kind of the last Devo album that came out was an album called Something for Everybody, and it came out in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And the opening song was called Fresh. I don't think it stands up as a classic with all the others. It certainly fits the time, and I think it was important just to include it in this show so that you've got some stuff that's... Devo continued to kind of devolve or evolve, however you want to look at it, in their own weird way. And it may not have been as catchy as Through Being Cool or Jocko Homo,
you're making it sound like you're apologizing for putting the song on here.
Well, in some ways, I mean, I don't think that it has the catchiness or the rawness. It seems very, and I think what that, how I view it now is because the rest of the world kind of caught up to Devo.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so that's kind of how I take it. It's like the earlier stuff really stood out because it did not fit in the context of its time. I mean, are we talking about 1978? Yeah. And here in 2010, it's like, it sounds like a lot of the other stuff that came out around 2010, and the rest of the world kind of caught up to Devo as opposed to anything else.
Wow.
So that's kind of my theory, and that was why I wanted to put it in.
Okay. Well, here we go. This is a song called Fresh from 2010 and the little Something for Everybody, Something for Everybody album. You're listening to The Weekly List on 95.1 KYMN.
The Spud.
That was Devo's very first single.
Yeah.
That was Mongoloid.
I like that one.
I do too. I'm not, I questioned whether or not I should put that song on here. It feels not quite so politically correct. but it
you
is.
Know, you 1978. Know.
Yeah.
You know, they're. Yeah.
Well, I think they wrote that song in like 74.
Yeah, that could be.
I mean, but whatever.
You know, I'm not trying to be an apologist for this stuff, but you can't deny what was.
Right.
I mean, you really can't. And you need to understand what history was and what some of the stuff was and then move past it.
Right. Well, if you were hoping to hear Whip It on this show, that's what's there instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. And, you know, Girl You Want was the flip side to that, was it?
Jocko Homo.
That was it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. All right. So that's all I have to say about Mongoloid. That's another one of those like just really. There's no other band like Devo. No one else could have come up with that.
This is a band of multiple left turns.
Yeah, it is,
and that's really it. I mean, aptly named, aptly inspired.
Okay, so the next song is a song I had not heard in a solid 35 years.
Oh, neither had I.
It was their first single from the album Oh No, It's Devo, which came out in 1982. This is the song I can remember them performing on Solid Gold. I remember Solid Gold was like Top of the Pops. You didn't actually play. Like,
no.
You lip-synced on that, right?
Yeah.
Well, they put a whole, like, performance thing together for this is Peekaboo, right? Where they had this giant clown head that would during the ha-ha-ha part,
yeah.
Like, the mouth would move up and down like a nutcracker or something. And, like, you know, it was someone standing. There's sort of a ramp and like the one person was lying on the ground and another person standing over him pointing at him. Ha ha. I mean, it was bizarre, but that's
Devo. I gotta see if that's out there on YouTube. Yeah. I mean, the thing that people who don't understand, you and I do, cause we're in that generation, Solid Gold was like, you could not get more cheesy.
No, you couldn't.
Because you had the Solid Gold dancers that wore this kind of sparkly green.
Well, whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
The costumes constantly changed, but they were sort of skimpy.
Yeah,
and,
they were.
You know,
a little bit of a heel and all that kind of stuff.
Whatever.
And they would do these dances and stuff. And I mean, I just remember in 1982 when Rex Smith was the host, he sang Allentown.
Oh, my God.
Because Allentown was in the top 10 or something.
Yeah.
So the hosts always have to cover one of the songs. And I remember watching that, and it was like watching a car wreck.
But he would only sing like half the song.
Yeah, it was like the verse and a chorus.
Because I remember him doing that with Somebody's Baby, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Ugh.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, the idea that Devo would never in their right mind appear on this unless they were going to do something really memorable.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sure enough, they did.
Yes.
And doing this song on Solid Gold seems so. That's an idea that even as weird as we might be, we'd still go, huh?
This is how stupid Solid Gold was. I am just remembering this as we bring it up. Marilyn McCoo was one of the hosts,
mm-hmm.
right? And right after Glenn Sherrick left Little River Band.
Okay.
Okay. Glenn Sherrick was the original lead singer, replaced by John Farnham, who later had a big hit You're the Voice.
Yes.
But that.
Now we're going to digress.
Right, exactly. Glenn Sherrick then came back to Little River Band and whatever. Okay. Man on Your Mind by Little River Band had just like hit in the top 10.
Okay.
And they got Glenn Sherrick to come on the show and lip sync that, right? And so Marilyn McCoo's interviewing beforehand and he's talking to him. She's asking him about, you just left the band. He's like, yeah, I did. And she said, well, is that like, and he said something like, well, you know, leaving a band is a lot like leaving a girl, except you don't get hit with a frying pan when you do it. Like at the moment I remember thinking, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I was 13 years old. 56 years into this now, it's still one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. So
had nothing to do with Devo, but it kind of sets the context for the show that Devo played, quote unquote played.
Peekaboo. We'll be right back. From 1980, and the Freedom of Choice album. That was a song, Freedom of Choice. To me, that song, defines the whole Devo mission.
Yeah, it really does. That's this was one of those songs I thought about playing Whip It, but really, Freedom of Choice seemed more apropos for 2025. To be quite honest with you.
Yep.
And I love how the lyrics, you know, freedom of choice, and they also alternate in there freedom from choice.
Right.
And they put both of those in. And when I started thinking about, as you said in the intro, that this is a band that came out of the school, Kent State Massacre from 1970. I mean, there's a lot of psychic trauma that they're reflecting in their music, and it's part of the story. And if you're at the age of being a student and you see that, your world is going to change.
Yeah.
And
it ought to.
It really should. And you're going to have a certain viewpoint. And I think that, they've kind of brought this song And I hear the song now in 2025 and go, yeah, freedom of choice, freedom from choice.
Right.
And it seems as relevant today as any time ever.
I couldn't agree more.
45 years old, that song.
Yeah, think about that.
And 45 it's still, years old.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, folks, that's going to just about do it for this here edition of The Weekly List. If you like the show, and sometimes I wonder why, but if you like the show, there's a lot of different ways you can hear us. We're on kymnradio.net. You can find our program page and download. I've got all the old episodes archived on that page. You can hear us every Thursday at 7 p.m., unless there's a Twins game or something like that, in which case we'll be on after the Twins game.
And you always post it every Friday morning.
We're on Facebook, where I under the weekly list, where I post every new show every Friday. Danny likes to promote us sort of on the weekly list Instagram page. He also likes to get to tell you about his colonoscopy and take pictures of,
ha, 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 ha.
There's a peekaboo. And yeah, anyway, so that's that. Final song tonight.
This is
Beautiful
from...
World. Like to me, this song is easily the most like optimistic and hopeful song in the entire...
See, I was going to say it's the most sarcastic song.
Oh, really?
Because it's a beautiful world for you, but not for me.
Well, it is. Okay, maybe we're both right, because I wouldn't call that sarcasm. I wouldn't say it's optimism. That's just Eeyore.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful world, unless you're me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This song, I'm really glad that you put it on here as like the last song, because... And this is one of my choices. I love this song. And the music itself does sound very optimistic. It sounds very positive. Mm-hmm. And they use that vocoder, you know, it's a beautiful world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can see a lot of positive stuff for you, and mm-hmm. not for me.
Right.
So I like when a song kind of goes both ways at me. It's the same thing with freedom mm-hmm. of choice, freedom
yep.
from choice.
Yep.
And Devo did that really well.
They did. That was yeah. Well, they were there to show you the dichotomy of society.
Yeah.
So
it's all contradiction.
Yeah.
And I think as a result, I've really questioned a lot of authority and things that I've been told. You know, you get told this.
Do we blame Devo for your entire personality?
I'm not sure that I'd blame them for my personality, but I'd certainly. They were one of the contributors to being somebody who questions, and
yeah.
I think that that's an important thing that we all question.
Oh, absolutely.
And we ask the questions of authority, and some of it we agree with, but some of it, you know, I think it's always important to ask the questions. And
it's really important to yeah. ask the questions, to question authority, and those who want to tell you that someone's authority will not be questioned, those are the people that
you got to worry about them.
Indeed.
So,
and but that's just, you know.
Us being...
That's just a random thought I had.
Really? I've known you for how long? 38, 39 years, and it's a random thought?
Danny, it's a beautiful world.
It is a beautiful world.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will talk to you guys again next week.
It's a beautiful world.